This is In the News for April 19th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from The Independent in the United Kingdom. Out of India, one woman protest helps halt huge Indian dam project is written by Justin Hugler. From a hospital bed, a starving woman has brought the biggest infrastructure project in a booming India to its knees. The Supreme Court has ruled that work on a massive dam on the Narmada River cannot be completed unless thousands of people whose homes will be flooded are relocated and rehabilitated. It was a victory for protesters who included the Booker Prize-winning novelist Arundhati Roy and the Bollywood movie star Aamir Khan, but mostly it was a victory for a woman who went on hunger strike for 20 days to draw attention to the plight of those living in the shadow of the dam. Medha Patkar is the most famous human rights activist in India, but when she and fellow activists began a hunger strike in Delhi in March, it was dismissed as just a publicity stunt. But the weeks passed and the hunger strike went on. After almost 3 weeks, Ms. Patkar's health was deteriorating fast, but she had forced the dam on to the front pages of all India's national newspapers day after day and made herself a political force the Indian government could not ignore. She was taken to hospital against her will by police, but hospital staff did not force her to eat. Hunger strikes are deeply respected in India, where they were enshrined in the national consciousness by Mahatma Gandhi. The standoff pitched her against Narendra Modi, the chief minister of Gujarat state, who called off a visit to Britain last year after human rights activists said they would try to have him arrested for crimes against humanity during the Gujarat massacres of 2002. At stake was a multi-million-dollar scheme to build 30 dams on the Narmada River to relieve water shortages across four states and provide hydroelectric power. Parched Gujarat stands to gain from the project, and Mr. Modi is a staunch supporter. He even began his own hunger strike, but he gave up after 30 hours. One of the biggest challenges facing India is the drastic shortage of water in many areas. Hundreds of farmers have committed suicide after their crops failed during droughts, and in many areas there are warnings the water table could run out completely. But Ms. Patkar and her Save the Narmada movement, which has campaigned against the dams for 20 years, say the homes of hundreds of thousands of people will be flooded in Madhya Pradesh state. She says they are being ignored because they are poor. Ms. Patkar began her hunger strike when work started on raising the biggest dam, the Sardar Sarovar, from 110 meters to 121 meters. Under pressure, the federal government sent a team to investigate the rehabilitation efforts. The team found that the activists' accusations were largely correct. At the largest site where families were being relocated, the minister said they were, quote, amazed that no sanitation, no drinking water, no system of sewage, no roads, much less the facilities like hospital, water reservoir, school, post office have been provided here, end quote. Displaced families were being encouraged to accept cash handouts instead of proper rehabilitation, and the government was charging them income tax on the handouts. The Save the Narmada movement says if the dam is raised, 35,000 families will lose their homes in monsoon rains in 3 months. The Supreme Court has ordered that work on the dam should continue for now, but warned that if rehabilitation was not carried out swiftly, it would order a complete stop to the work. Ms. Patkar ended her hunger strike on Monday. She staggered from her hospital bed to give a statement, but refused to see it as a victory, saying she was disappointed the Supreme Court had allowed work to continue. She vowed to fight on. That is taken from commondreams.org and appeared in The Independent in the United Kingdom, again written by Justin Hugler. Next up, from High Country News at hcn.org, Sarah Gilman reports, mass wolf kill rests on shaky science. Idaho's Fish and Game Department wants to boost the low-low management zone's dwindling elk herd by killing up to three-quarters of the area's estimated 58 wolves and maintaining low wolf numbers for the next 5 years. But some biologists and conservation groups question the science behind the plan, the department's first attempt to manage Idaho's wolves since the federal government granted it the authority in January. The elk herd, 27,000 strong in the early 1980s, has collapsed to 5,000 animals. But habitat loss, not wolves, is to blame, says Suzanne Asha Stone of Defenders of Wildlife. Decades of wildfire suppression have allowed dense forests to reclaim many of the open meadows the elk need for forage and calving grounds. State biologists agree that habitat is the key concern, but Jim Unsworth, the department's wildlife chief, says the Forest Service can't restore it fast enough. Quote, when you have great habitat, he says, predators aren't an issue, end quote. Department computer models indicate that wolves are keeping elk numbers down, but John Kai, a University of Idaho biologist who reviewed the proposal for the state, points out that a bigger herd could outgrow the existing habitat and crash. Retired University of Idaho wildlife professor Jim Peake said, quote, these guys aren't wolf haters. they have to manage the elk, end quote. The herd's number remain low despite the fact that the state already manages the area's bears and cougars through hunting. Reducing wolf predation through aerial gunning and trapping, says Unsworth, is, quote, the last tool in our toolbox, end quote. The department sent the proposal to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service April 4th for review. Again, that's from High Country News at hcn.org and written by Sarah Gilman. And finally today, a press release from Citizens for Tax Justice. Bush tax cuts save President $26,000. Cheney, $1.1 million in 2005. This is dated April 18th out of Washington, D.C. On Good Friday, April 14th, 2006, President Bush and Vice President Cheney released their federal income tax returns for 2005. An analysis by Citizens for Tax Justice of the White House figures shows, due to the 2001-05 Bush tax cuts, the President's 2005 income tax was reduced by $26,204. The President's income tax rate was 25.4% of his reported income. Without his tax cut legislation, he would have paid 29%. Vice President Dick Cheney's 2005 income tax bill was reduced by $1,093,937 due to the Bush tax cuts. The Vice President's income tax rate was only 5.7% of his $9.1 million reported income. Without the Bush tax cuts, he would have paid 17.7%. President Bush's $26,000 tax cut stemmed from both the lower regular tax rates and his reduction in the top rate tax rate on dividends from 39.6% to 15%. Vice President Cheney's $1.1 million tax cut in part reflected the lower regular tax rates and the 15% tax rate on capital gains and dividends. Cheney also was able to take an additional $2.5 million in itemized deductions due to a tax law change signed by Bush in 2005, which was ostensibly designed to encourage charitable donations to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Normally, charitable deductions cannot offset more than half of a taxpayer's adjusted gross income. Unused deductions can be carried forward for possible use in later years. A special rule for 2005, however, allows unlimited charitable deductions if made after August 27th, the date of the Katrina disaster. The law does not require that these donations be linked in any way to hurricane relief. None of Cheney's charitable donations went to hurricane victims. Instead, they went to the Washington, D.C. hospital that takes care of his heart condition, the University of Wyoming, his alma mater, and Capital Partners for Education, which helps low-income Washington, D.C. students pay private school tuition. Okay, well, that is a press release from Citizens for Tax Justice. There's more details on this, including all the dollar amounts. We got this from commondreams.org. That's the best place to find it. Or you can call the Citizens for Tax Justice at 202-299-1066. That's 202-299-1066. This has been In the News for April 19th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. I'll talk to you next time.